guests, and of course all of our precious members that have come out on a chilly Wednesday night in South Florida. I'm not sure, but is this Saturday the change the clock Saturday? And we're falling backwards. We're coming into the fall, right? It's getting cold. So be sure Saturday evening when you go to bed to move your clock back an hour. Some of you move it back 2 hours and you'll actually be on time. But the right thing to do would just be to move it back 1 hour. And so try to remember that. We will send out a phone tree concerning that to remind all of our precious people to change their clocks. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14. Tonight I'm going to do a little bit of teaching, which is going to launch off of Sunday's service. And we had a very strong service Sunday, but a great, powerful move of God confirming His Word. And I thank the Lord for a church that is willing to be a lighthouse in this world. Amen? And live for the Lord to the best of our ability according to our understanding. And I want to deal with that a little bit tonight on the reason why we preach separation and why the Word deals with separation so much. So we're going to teach on that just a little bit here tonight to the core, to the Wednesday night crowd, that we might be able to be a stronger foundation on these teachings from the Word of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14, the Word of the Lord says, "Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Amen. Praise the Lord. The Word is awesome, isn't it? Father, bless us tonight. Touch your Word in our hearts, our minds. Help us to receive the Word of God deep into our heart. We can begin to walk it and live it to the best of our ability. We thank you so much, Lord, for your grace, your mercy that abides upon us as we walk daily with you. We pray that we can be that light to the world, that they might see you in us and be drawn to you, that they might know that there is a God which is pure and righteous, lives above the unrighteousness of this world, that they might know that there is surely a way of escape for them. There is a method, a way in which they can be redeemed. We pray and ask it, Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen, amen. And say, Jesus, let me be a light. Lord bless you. You can be seated. What an awesome time we had Sunday. And we, during the month of October, have been preaching and teaching on the intimacy, or the month of October has been a month of what we called intimacy in truth. And that there are truths in the Word of God that are so seldom mentioned or preached in this generation today, in the religious generation. And I'll just start out by saying tonight that the world is more religious today than it has ever been in all of its history. But religion is not the answer for mankind. An experience with God and walking and abiding in the truth of His Word is the answer for every man and every woman that lives upon this planet. So I'm not so much interested in religion as I am in the Word of God. What does the Word of the Lord have to say? And so through the month of October, we have been dealing with different powerful truths, and that is the coming back of the Lord. We talked about the coming back of the Lord. We talked about the truth about hell and the truth about heaven. We dealt with the truth about the plan of salvation in God's Word. What does God's Word really teach about what is needful in order to be saved and to walk with the Lord? And then on Sunday, we started wrapping up our month of intimacy and truth on the truth about living for God. Because we live in a time when men all around this globe are standing in pulpits and they are not delivering the full gospel to their people. Many are intimidated because they do not want to offend the wealthy. They're afraid they might split their congregations, and they probably would, especially if they preached Sunday's message. But the point of preaching that message, it's not just to have a stick to wave around or have some strength of the gospel in which we beat our people over the head with. The gospel shall always be preached in love and in compassion. It should always be preached with mercy. None of us would be here today if it was not for the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And as we taught, the Bible says that mercy and truth abides together. And I am so thankful for that. Because the more I learn in this word, the more I realize how incapable I really am of truly fulfilling all that is required of me in the word of the Lord. So I am so thankful that the Bible says that when truth comes to you, mercy comes with it. God understands our weaknesses, our frailties. He understands our faults and failures. And so truth comes to us, and as we begin to take baby steps in that truth, the Lord reaches out with His mercy and He walks with us. And if we fall, He doesn't condemn us. He reaches down and He picks us up in His love and He says, come on, we can do this. We can make it. We can go all of the way. And like we taught Sunday, and as I'm going to continue with here tonight, there is a reason for this separation of the world. There is a reason for the teachings of God's Word, that when we become children of God and we begin to walk with God and we strive to come out from the world and to depart from our old ways of sin. As the Bible says, the old man dies and we come out of the water a new creature in Christ, and we crucify the old man daily and we try to learn how to walk in God every day in the new ways and in the Bible way. The main reason for that, the Word of the Lord tells us, is so that men will see your good works, but not give you glory, but give the Father glory that is in heaven. Why? Because men are smart enough to know you're not doing this on your own. There must be a greater power that's helping you. There must be a greater power that is giving you the endurance and able to live for God the way you're living for God. And they will lift their hands and give glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But if God's kids are acting like the world and walking with the world and talking like the world, looking like the world, dressing like the world, going where the world goes, being entertained like the world is being entertained, if the world looks at us as Christians and cannot tell the difference between us and them, then there is no light that is shining in darkness. What is that light that shines in darkness? It's the light of the Holy Ghost that works through you. It is the light of holiness. It is God coming into our life and making a difference in each and every one of us, that when we leave this building here today, men and women who are lost but hungry for God can look upon you, and they may not quite understand exactly, but there is a drawing power. And I'm here to tell you that it will open up a door. It will open up a door that will enable you to witness and able to share the love of God with them. Let them see what God can do in their life, and that there is hope. There is hope in a world that is lost and dying. And so we launch here tonight. I want to talk to us this evening about the power of separation. You know, we preached on Sunday the truth about living for God. And the basics of that message, even though we went into a lot of different areas, the basics of it is that God doesn't leave you where he finds you. But he begins to work on you and change things in you. And it starts inside of the heart, but it doesn't stay in the heart. It makes its way out on the outside. Because man can't see the heart. Man looks on the outside, the Word of God says. And so if man's going to see Christ in you, there's got to be something that shines outward. Something's got to change about you. And so the Word teaches these things in details. And we went into that on Sunday. We're not going to touch any of that here today. But there is power in separation. When we walked into this building today, the very few of us that are even here tonight. However, when we lifted our hands, we begin to feel the power of God. His presence walked amongst us because he's in the midst of the praises of his people. But I'll tell you somewhere else that God shows up. God shows up when there have been temples that are dedicated to him and separated unto him. God shows up to dwell in them and dwell amongst them. And it pleases the Lord. And he walks amongst us and we feel his presence. I know that we take it for granted from time to time. We've been so exposed to the move of God like we are service after service, some greater than others, but still we're exposed to the move of God. But I want to tell you tonight that there are very few places that you can go that you can feel a genuine, deep, stirring move of God. A move of God that changes the hearts of men. A move of God that puts men upon their faces weeping in tears before their God, crying out in conviction, wanting God to come and change their life and help them. There are a few places that do that, but I am thankful that I am a part of that kind of church that has learned to get a hold of God. But I'm going to tell you where that comes from. It comes because we have separated ourselves from the world. We have come out from among them. We touch not the unclean thing, and God has received us unto himself. And so his presence moves amongst us. We need to never, ever, ever, ever take it for granted. We need to understand that we are doused in his anointing. And so when we go back out into the world, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And I talk Sunday, it's not about isolation, it's about insulation. We don't isolate ourselves. Make friends in the world. Love people in the world. Make friends with your coworkers. Everywhere you go, be kind, be nice. Show the love of God. Let the compassion of God flow through you. We are to be kinder to the world than the world is to itself. It's the church where they should feel love. And it's through that love that God will use you. And we look at this verse and look how powerful this is. It says, what be ye not, the very first verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. In other words, they are, and that deal, it deals with marriage, but it deals with so many other things as well. That we can befriend them and love them, but we cannot link up with them in their entertainment. We cannot link up with them in their ways of sin that are against God. So we cannot yoke ourselves to them. And that touches business and marriage and friendships and so many different things. But then the word goes on to say, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And in, if you've lived for God for any time at all, and the Lord has brought you out of things, you understand that. You know that friends that you used to have, you may still love them and speak with them, but the relationship can only go so far, because righteousness doesn't have fellowship with unrighteousness. And as much as we hate to say this, it is still the truth. Even within our very own flesh and blood and families, we can see the division. We love coming to church because righteousness has a relationship with other righteousness. But family reunions can be a horrible place sometimes, and because that fellowship's not there anymore. We don't drink or smoke or cuss or tell dirty jokes or watch dirty movies or things that maybe are going on with the other family members. And so you feel that uneasiness. Why? Because righteousness can't have fellowship. But look how powerful he even goes on to say. He said, can light fellowship with darkness? You can be in the darkest room and bring in the dimmest, tiniest, little bitty light into that room, and it will shine bright. Why? Because darkness flees light. There is no relationship. When you get into the light of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's the reason why you're persecuted. I got a phone call yesterday, and after that message, thank God for the 150 saying, Pastor, thank you for preaching it. Thank you for preaching it. Thank you for preaching it. But I got one where I was just ripped up from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, and I just let her talk. You know, your pastor, he can be sarcastic sometimes. So I was praying while she was talking. God, help me keep my mouth shut. God, let me be right. Let me keep me holy. Keep me righteous, God. Let me be you. But I wanted to say, my, you were certainly convicted, weren't you? Because if it didn't bother you, honey, you wouldn't be talking to me on the phone right now. Obviously, God's dealing with your heart, and the Word of God has touched you. But I just told her I love her, and we love her, and she can come any way she wants to come. We'll love her. She said she went out. I probably shouldn't say that. Okay, so continuing. Anyway, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15, and so what he continues with, how can light and darkness and righteousness and unrighteousness? But look at verse 16, and I want to launch off from this. God says, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. There is power in separation. The Lord is saying in verse 14, 15, and 16, if you'll come out, if you will separate, if you will dedicate, he said, I will walk in you and I will dwell in you, not only in you but in your midst, all around you. Oh, when we separate ourselves from the world, it brings the power of God into our life. And he said, because I will walk in you and I will dwell in you, he said, because of that, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. In 2 Corinthians and chapter 6 and verse 16, I will dwell in them. Tell your neighbor, I want God to dwell in me. When you look into the Word of the Lord, even you make your way into the Old Testament, because remember that the Old Testament are type and shadows of things to come. And when God had Moses build the temple or the tabernacle, when the plan was laid out, the Lord never had the intentions of dwelling in tents or badger skins. When he had Moses build that temple, it was a type and shadow
of you and me. And the Lord was trying to teach us through his word how important that every member be dedicated unto him. And so he told Moses, he said, the forks, the spoons, the knives, the candlestick, the table, the shewbread, the ark of the covenant, all of the furniture of the tabernacle, it is to be dedicated and consecrated unto me, and it is never to be used for anything else. You are to separate it and make it holy. He said the fork is holy, the knife's holy, the spoon's holy, the candlestick's holy, the brazen altar's holy, the brazen laver's holy, the ark of the covenant's holy. Everything about the tabernacle, he said, it is to be made separate. It is to be made righteous. It is to be taken out. The common man is never to touch it. Only the priest is to touch it. The average person is never to come near it. It's separated unto me, God said. It's dedicated unto me. And when they got through dedicating that tabernacle, when they got through putting everything together with that temple, the word of the Lord said that the priest, Moses, was in the tabernacle. And when they finally finished everything, Exodus chapter 40, you need to go home and read it for yourself. It's an awesome chapter. When they got through with everything, the Bible says when they finished their consecrating and they're dedicating everything unto God, separating it unto God, it said the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of God came down like a cloud, and it made its way into that tabernacle, and it was there so thick that the priest could not even minister. Moses had to back out because the power was too great. I'm here to tell you, there is power in separation. And God was trying to teach us as a people and teach us as a church. The more you separate yourself, the more you dedicate yourself, the more of my glory and the more of my power will come into your midst. It's not the choir that brings God here. It's not fancy musicians or singers or film strips or all kinds of drama. No, I'll tell you what gets God in our midst. When we have separated ourselves unto him, our heart, our mind, our soul, our body. The Lord said, I want to dwell in your temple. But I cannot do that if you do not separate it unto me. And that is the whole purpose of the teaching and the preaching on Sunday. I don't know why God put some of these things in his word. I'm not here to figure it out. And if I did figure it out, it don't change it. It's still there. I still have to obey it. And if I never get its revelation, it's still there. I still have to obey. So I don't understand everything, but I'm asking you as the core of the church, don't fight it. Let's yield to it. Let's see what God will do if we will separate ourselves according to this book. I just got a feeling God's got a lot more for us than we have ever experienced. I've got a feeling, my Lord have mercy, that he wants to come down so thick that the ministry can't minister. Nope, the musicians can't sing. Nobody can do anything. We just fall on our faces and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's when the blind eyes are going to open. That's when the lame is going to walk. That's when the dumb's going to hear. My God, or speak. And the deaf that's going to hear. Come on, somebody. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Every time they dedicated and separated the tabernacle,
to the Lord, His glory would come in. And so God puts in His books throughout the New Testament about cleansing ourselves from the filth of the flesh, about leaving the old ways of life and coming out and separating. And listen, we're not smart enough to know what we should or shouldn't do. So God puts this stuff in His book. Thank the Lord, He writes His law across our heart. You know what? Someone said to me not long ago, in fact, it was the same phone call, said, if the Lord wanted me to do those things, he would tell me. I said, He did Sunday. I said, that's what the phone call is all about. So then I prayed again, Lord, please help me. I can't be. Help me handle this right. Help me handle this right. Jesus, in Your precious name. But if you never, first of all, let me tell you something. I don't want to pick that thing. Which one of y'all got a Bible? It doesn't matter what spirit speaks to you or doesn't speak to you. This book has authority over everything. So if you never feel the tingle from the Holy Ghost that says, yes, this is me. If you never feel that, but you read it in this book, it's from Him. Voices can lie. There are entire religions today that have been formed because men have said, an angel came to me and spoke to me, and I wrote and gave me golden tablets, and I wrote it down. And this is the new doctrine. Paul the apostle said, "If an angel," he didn't say from hell, "if an angel from heaven comes and talks to you, and it's against what's in this book," he said, "let that angel be accursed." That's an absolute lie from the devil, trying to get the church to think they can just walk around with their little antennas up there hearing from God all the time. And if God don't say it to their spirit, it must not be of God. The Word of God is the first authority. The voice of God or the Spirit, all it's going to do is confirm what the Word has already told you. You said, prove that, Pastor. The rich man said, send Lazarus. Send him to my brothers. If a dead man comes to him, he'll believe him. And Abraham said, let me tell you something. Even if a dead man raised up, they wouldn't believe. He said, they've got Moses, the law, and the prophet. In other words, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God has the final authority in our lives. How can you get mad at the preacher when he's just reading Scripture? ...98% of my message Sunday was nothing but Scripture. The other 2% was me breathing. It's the Word. And God brings this to us because there is power in separation. And He wants us to understand that. It's not about trying to get you or make you to do things like the devil's done all your life.
It's God breaking the power of Satan and God coming in and showing you things that are right and things that are wrong. And in his word, and while they're right and while they're wrong, and then he begins to pull you this way, and the whole battle is our flesh. That's all it is. It's just our flesh. It's things we want. If we could just understand that at his right hand are pleasures evermore and joy. That if we could learn to separate ourselves, he would bring us more pleasure than this world could ever, ever, ever bring us. Common scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Everybody say, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and do what? Turn from their wicked ways. In other words, separate themselves. Not just separate from the world, but dedicate to God. He said, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. There is always a calling out. Tell your neighbor that. There's always a calling out. And a lot of times our problem is like the little eaglets. We're really comfortable in the warm feathers. And when God starts calling out, he starts pulling those little feathers out. And the thorns start poking. There's always a calling out. Noah was called out to build an ark of safety for his family. Abraham was called out of the city of Haran to do what? To find a city whose builder and maker was God. Moses was called out of his home when he didn't even know it. Called out of his home. Then he was called out of the palace. And he was called into the desert. A place of separation. But where did Moses meet God? Was it in the palace? Or was it in the desert? It was in the desert. The place of separation. Jacob was called out of his family. Then he was called out of Laban, a place of safety. But he was called into separation over Peniel, over the brook Peniel. And there the Bible says he wrestled with an angel all night. So he was separated from his family, separated from his servants, separated from everyone, called out and separated. And that's when he met God. Joseph was called out of a loving father. He was then called out of a trusting master. Cast into prison, but it was in prison where he gave his first interpretations of the dreams. It was in his separation where he came out and revealed to Pharaoh, and then he became the savior of an entire nation. It was in his separation where he met God, not when he was wearing the robe of many colors. It was when he was in his prison that he met God. And the list goes on. There was Joshua, Gideon, Samuel, David, Elijah. And we could tell stories about all of them. But here's the point of all of this. Don't fight your calling out. Don't you get it? That's where God is waiting to meet you. Because there's power in separation. Now listen, I don't want to hurt us, but I just want to give you a word of truth. You're either being called out or you're being thrown out. So that's up to you. You can accept the call out or you can be thrown out. Because one of the two are going to happen. Adam and Eve were called out, right? Don't touch the fruit, separation.
They did it, so they were. The Bible says Cain, he knew what to bring to the sacrifice, but he chose not to, so he was thrown out. Saul knew to wait and not do the sacrifice. He was called out as king, but he was thrown out. Esau, five foolish virgins, they knew to bring the oil, but they did not. Thrown out. The man with the garment that went to the wedding, he knew what to wear, did not. Thrown out. When God is calling you out into a separation, run to it with all of your might. Don't fight it. Don't try to understand it. Don't try to figure it out. Just run towards it. Because if you're not being called out, you're going to be thrown out. And I don't want to be thrown out. I want to be called out, because there is power in separation. The further I get away from the world and the closer I get to God, the more God's going to dwell in me, dwell about me. And it's the same thing as the church. That's why a pastor, it's got to preach it. He's got to keep it in us. It's got to be in our fibers. We got to live it, walk it, breathe it. We got to eat it. It's got to be everything about us. We must breathe God and separation unto Him, that His power will come in our midst. Thrown out, called out, sheep called out, goats thrown out, wheat called out, tares thrown out. Samson, there is no safety in Delilah's lap. You might think there is, but there's not. So we're just allowing ourselves to be deceived if, when God is calling us, we are determined to continue to relax in our flesh and hold up safety in our flesh because of the unknown of where God may be calling us as an individual or as a church. There is no safety in Delilah's lap. And these many religions or whatever out there who are playing with the world to bring people in, there's no safety there. When the real trouble hits and the real persecution comes, they're going to quickly find out there's no strength when you lay your head in Delilah's lap. And it's going to be only the church that's going to stand. A church that has separated herself. We already gave up the world. What do we care if it gets destroyed? But people that are still living in it are going to die with it. Your head's in her lap, Samson, you're going to die with her, son. If you're flirting with the world and trying to keep the power of God in your life, you get up and shake yourself and God is still on you and you go back and flirt with the world. We know the story of Samson. But the day's going to come when the real trial's going to come and the real pressure's going to come and the real enemy's going to show up and you're going to shake yourself and there's not going to be any power. And what you laid your head in is actually has been your deceiver and your destroyer. But the church that has already separated herself from the lap of Delilah don't have anything to worry about when the world crumbles, because we're not there anyway. We're trusting in Him. We're leaning on Him. We have separated ourselves unto Him. I'm going to bring this to a close. Psalms 1 and 1. Scriptures that we're all familiar with. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bring forth his fruit, and in his season his leaf shall not wither, and whithersoever he doeth shall prosper. When we separate ourselves to God, God, when we give ourselves to God, we are going to be the ones where the power of God is going to be demonstrated. And in the last days, when this world falls apart, if you and I are still alive and we have separated ourselves unto Him, it is us where the power of God is going to reside. And it is the church where people are going to run to and desire the blessings and the strength of the Lord and deliverance out of the world. Come on, church. This world needs a light. Let's not give in to the pressure.
And I believe that we can build a strong church. A growing, strong church, and hold to the standards of God's word. I believe it. It has to be preached in love and compassion. But let me tell you, you can play around with the people that don't really want God all you want. In the end, they're going to leave you anyway. You might as well preach it and build a church that is solid upon God.
Oh, come on, get a little bit better than that. Give a response to the Lord if you believe it. Your pastor's not mean most of the time. I try to preach hard messages and as loving and compassionate as I can. But you ought to get up here under the anointing. I'm holding God back. Whoa! You'll kill him like Moses falling on his face. God, whoa! You'll kill him. Let's do this one bite at a time. You feel that anointing and that anger of righteousness because God hates sin. We begin to preach in this area and that begins to flow through your body. It's difficult to control yourself, especially when you're already half crazy. Makes things hard. The Lord said, "Be ye separate." We can build a church that maintains biblical standards. And I said biblical standards. Because even in the apostolic church, there are some things that came from man. And at the time, they may have had their purpose and their reason. But your foundation better be in the book. That never changes. The book never changes. The book never changes. And we can build a strong church upon biblical foundation. And you're going to see people leave. But you're going to see people come in. There's some on the fence. Never heard it. You preach it. Man, they jump over here and say, "Wow, this is awesome." And then you got others that jump in the other direction and say, "No way, Jose." Paul said, "Let them go. They were never a part of you." He didn't call them bad people. He just said they weren't a part of you. Maybe God will deal with them down the road. Maybe there's another time in their life. But the word of the Lord says that God will add to the church such as should be saved. And He will do it. And I'm going to tell you, we separate ourselves and dedicate ourselves. And I'm not talking about us four no more. I believe in revival. Listen, I was the worst of them out there. And so were many of you. I heard it. I came in. You heard it. You came in. It didn't run you off. Why? Because you had a sincere desire to live for God. You didn't know what it took, but when you heard it, you said, "Hey, yeah, let's do it. I can do this. I want, preacher. Preach to me, preacher. Get me out of my sin. Tell me what's right and wrong. Come on, give me the word of God." We've got a church of, if all of them showed up, dear Lord, that's a miracle. Church on Sunday, they all showed up of a strong 500 people who live this holiness, live this walk. That's a great church. But we're going to double it. And then we're going to double it again. You know how we're going to do it? By preaching separation.
Because there are people out there that are hungry. And they're tired of religion. And they're tired of junk. And they want the word. And they want to know what's going to deliver their soul.
All right, I know you're done. I'm going to bring it to a close. I preached a long time Sunday. I am so sorry. But I wanted to get it out and get it across. Amen. Let's stick together. Let's make this happen. Christian church today has lost its testimony. I don't have to hound on this. It's just the way it is. You can line up 1,000 Christians and 1,000 heathen. You can't pull them apart, folks. You can't do it. It's just us here tonight. And if there's someone that's not here that's not us, well, no, I love you and I would never offend you. I'm just talking. But you can put I'm going to try to say this right before it's over, but because I was raised Baptist, but you can put a Baptist and Episcopalian and a Methodist and a Catholic and another Anna. You line them all up. You can't tell what they are. Why? Well, hold on. Don't quit there. Go get a drug addict. Go get a prostitute. Go get a drug dealer. Go get an incestor. Go get a murderer. Go get a good sinner. Go get 100 good sinners. And line them up with them. And you will not be able to pick one out from the other. Can't do it. God's church is not that way. The Bible makes it plain. You'll see my church coming from afar off. He makes it plain. And God designed in his book to so position his church inwardly and outwardly that the world will never have a problem picking us out. Never have a problem picking us out. You can take one apostolic woman. Now, men, we blend. But like I told you Sunday, God picks on the women. But that's because of what you represent. You are the queen. You're the queen. And every husband is judged by his wife. You can, like I said, you can know. Just look at the wife. Watch her for a little while and you'll know. Every husband can be judged by his wife. But you put one apostolic in that same crowd. And one of these things don't look like the other thing. And you can pick that precious sister out 100 times out of 100. All you got to do is say, which one of them are different? And they're going to go, that one right there. Why? Because God designed it that way. We're supposed to stick out like sore thumbs. Don't you understand that? That's what light does in dark rooms. He said, you don't light a light and put it on a bushel. Nobody can see it. You're supposed to. Our young people, God bless them, they're the best in the world. They're the greatest. They really are. We have good kids. But peer pressure is tough. We don't have to pick on them. We can pick on us. We don't want to go to job and, I don't want to be different or stick. You're supposed to stick out. They're supposed to be able to spot you a mile off. You are, the Bible calls you weird. Peculiar, unusual, odd. That's what he said. All of these things. He wants his bride to stick out. And the darker this world gets, if we'll hold our place in the Lord, the more we're going to stick out. So I'm closing. 2 minutes. So it's important. Separation is important. Because in separation, the word of the Lord says, that God will be seen in us. He will be manifested and revealed and reflected to the world. If there's no separation, they will never see God in you. So there's got to be something that separates the church that lets the world see God. Galatians 1:15 says, but when it pleased God who separated me from, Paul speaking, from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Why? Why was Paul the apostle separated? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. When God struck Paul blindness, called him out to preach to the Gentiles, he conferred with the prophets or the disciples of the Lord. But God called him out. 24 tells us why. That they glorify God in me. Your holiness is not about self-righteousness. Our holiness and separation is about a world glorifying God. How? In you. How do they do that? They look at you and they see God. More than your dress, of course. We know that. Pastor preaches it all, and I know you all know that. But this is what we're dealing with. They can see it. They know it's different. They may mock it. They may laugh at it. But when they go home and they're by themselves, they know. And you say, well, I just do a little bit. Not going to work. A little lump. Little leaven. Messes the whole thing up. I want you to hear preacher tonight. Well, I just wear little ones. Little leaven. I don't know how to explain it. It removes you from that absolute separation. Listen, the Lord knew where this world was going. The Lord knows what this world loves and takes its pride in. And its gold and its silver and its jewels. We're not ignorant. You don't have to look for. How do the wealthy show their wealth? The bigger ring, right? The bigger earring. Bigger nose ring. They do it all kinds of ways. But sincerely, fancier cars. I know I'm hitting hard again, but I'm trying to get you to think. And it just takes a little bit that if they line you up, they're automatically going to put you over here because that little bit just links you in with the rest. And if it is just a little bit, why aren't you willing to give that up for Jesus? I don't understand. What are you holding on to? Does it matter that much? And if you say, well, that's the point, it doesn't matter at all. Well, if it doesn't matter at all, then do it and see what happens. You know when I got convicted of my long hair? And it was down my back. I heard it preached 10 times. Nobody gonna get me to cut my hair. It was pretty. I had what they called it was feathered, split down the middle, and it layered on the side, on both sides, and I'd spray it, and then it flowed down the back. Oh, it was nice. But I believe it or not, I wanted to sing in the choir. And I knew I couldn't sing in that choir unless I cut my hair. So I told myself, I said, you know what? Hair grows. I'm just going to cut it so I can get in the choir, and then I'll just let it grow. When I cut that hair and I walked out of that little trailer, because it's a private beautician, I didn't go to a barber because they didn't know how to handle my hair. And that woman tried to talk me out of it. She said, please don't do this, Dan. I'm sitting in that chair. Please don't. Because she had trimmed it or whatever for a few years. And I said, cut it off. How short? No, I want all the way. I want over the years. I cut it off. I want short. I want cut it off. So finally she cuts my hair. And when I walked out that door, I cannot describe to you the condemnation that came over my heart. And I fell to my knees outside that trailer. I just fell to my knees. And I said, oh God, forgive me. I didn't say this, but this is what I should have said if I'd have been poetic. For I knoweth not what I do. I just said, forgive me. But when I cut it off, God revealed to me his disdain for long hair on a man. But he loved me enough to walk with me even in my rebellion and keep his love about me and touch me and hold me close. But the moment I cut it, he let me know, you'll never grow that back and not be my servant. Not going to happen. So I challenge you. You're holding on to some little things. Why don't you just try removing them and see what the Lord will do. See what God will do. He's waiting for you to move so that he can respond and show you. The Lord does not want his kids to blend with the world. It's not that we're being odd or weird. There's plenty of odd and weird people. He wants us to live according to his book. Get in the book and read it and let God show you how he wants you to live. And that's where his power comes from. That separation. Not just being different, but being Bible. And when you get in this book and you separate yourself according to this word and quit trying to justify it, one lady said, well, that was for that same phone call. Well, that was for them back then. Like, well, what other parts are for them back then? Does every part of the Bible that rubs you wrong, is that for them back then? Is that because that's where that goes. You understand that, right? There is no ending to that. So you can't do that. You just have to take it all. And then you have to say to yourself, I'm either going to live it or I'm not. I'm either going to do it or I'm not. But if you will separate yourself unto God, it will change your life forever. And the more you separate, the more the glory and the power of God that's going to come on you. Let's stand. I've gotten back in some areas I didn't want to get. Let's give the Lord praise for his word. He's an awesome God. There is power in separation. And that's why we preach and teach this. Because when things are separated unto God, God's glory comes in. And he gives us all kinds of examples through the word of the Lord. And so that's what he's trying to do. What is he saying? Come out from among them and I will receive you unto myself. You separate yourself from the Lord. That's when his glory comes into your life in ways that you can never think. Two more points, and I'm just going to read them real quick. Why do I separate myself? So God can use me. Romans 1 and 1, Galatians 2 and 20, Colossians 1 and 29. So God can use me. If we cannot be a separated people, then we will fail to adequately declare and reveal and manifest him. And that is what this is all about. It's about declaring and manifesting Jesus Christ. And I can't do it if I'm holding on to my own thing. So this is what we're going to do as a church. Wednesday night crowd, you're the core. You're my favorites, my specials, and the Lord's. And I'm not picking on the Sunday. I know a lot of them work and things. I don't mean that. I just appreciate your faithfulness. But we're gonna pray together right now. We're gonna ask God to help this church to make this step into separation. You know, remember, y'all know Simon. He preached for us. He's a little door to work that came out. He's a pastor in Riviera Beach. Stephen, Stephen Simon is his name. He used to come to church here years ago, and well, he built a church and didn't preach separation or nothing. Built his church up to 100 people. And we came and we did his thing, and church was just, well, worldly people, just full of the worldly people. And we were having talks, and he would come to me, "Pastor, I need to turn this around." So I started talking to him about how to turn this boat around. So he called me up a few weeks ago, and he preached. And he's been preaching separation and holiness and dress and things that, and biblically, and showing it in the Bible why it's necessary. So his church split right down the middle. In fact, probably more so. Dropped all the way down to about 35 people. Everybody else left. He called me up. He was the most excited man I've ever heard who had just lost 2/3 of his congregation. He called me up. He said, "Pastor, you ought to see my praise team." He said, "They look like God-fearing women." He said, "And they're not rebellious and bold." And he said, "Oh, the power of God." He said, "We baptized 4 in Jesus' name today." He said, "But the beautiful thing about it," he says, "I now got a group of people that I can get up and preach this salvation doctrine to. And everybody that's coming in, it's just all they know and all they hear. It's worth it. You hear me? It's worth it. And if pastor doesn't preach it, we'll lose it. We'll lose it. Because they'll come in by the droves and they'll swallow us up. So you're just going to have to bear with me. Because every once in a while on a Sunday, and you're going to scratch your head and say, "Pastor, why are you preaching that with all these guests?" I'm not preaching to the guest. I'm preaching to our people so that we'll keep it in our hearts, keep it in our spirits, so that as we grow separated unto the Lord. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. All right. I want you to lift your hands, holy hands unto the Lord. I want you to lift your hands. There's going to be no clapping because all of our hands are lifted before the Lord. Father, we come to you right now as a church, as a people. Called out, God. Called out and separated. Redeemed from the sin that's in our life. Took us out of darkness into your marvelous light. As your word says, we ran so well. What did hinder us? We ran so well in the spirit. Why would we think for even a moment we can fulfill this in the flesh? So we pray, Lord, as a people, our hands lifted before you, we pray. And we're asking you, Lord, to visit us. Visit us with your righteousness. Visit us with your holiness. Visit us, God, and help us to separate ourselves unto you, to dedicate ourselves unto you, that the name of Jesus might be manifested and declared in this place. And when people walk through those doors, God, it's not the choir, it's not these little things that don't matter, but they are overwhelmed by the presence of God. They are overwhelmed by the power of God, which comes from separation. And they can feel your spirit drawing them out. They can feel your spirit calling them out. Yes, Lord, many will leave, many will go, but oh God, many will come and many will stay. There are many that are hungry, many that are desiring, many that want it, oh God. And so we're asking you, Father, help us as a church to do what we need to do, God, to be that separated people unto the Lord. Oh God, help us to get off the fence. Help us not to hold on to a little bit, but God, give it all up. Give it all up. Give it all up for you. Everything for you, God. Just turn it over to the kingdom. Turn it over for your purpose. And Lord, let this church be lifted up as a bright light in this city. And let the religious world and the world itself see a bright light shining of the name of Jesus Christ that they can run to for hope in their life. Father, this is what we pray. This is what we ask. Help us. Help us.
us in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us to do what is right. Come amongst us, God. Visit us, God, with your glory. Let us feel your power. Your word says that you will come to those that separate. Visit the temple. Visit the tabernacle. Come amongst us, O God, as we separate ourselves to you. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. So there is power in separation. And that is why we do it. The presence of God comes when people